Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Cordishi and Coit. Host Scott Cordishi.
So mad right now that he took it a little bit too far.
What?
There is no shame in peeing one's pants.
Yeah, you come into this world in diapers, you leave this world in diapers.
You ain't cool unless you pee your pants.
Nick Coit.
Phase two gets moved up. That means that this right here can get a cut. This
flow
on top
baby,
of my
get
head
that
because
beat.
It really works.
Proper suction is the key.
Perfect haircuts every time.
W-E-I. Looks like the NBA is thinking strongly about returning this
thrilled
summer.
To see the NBA finish out their season at Walt Disney World.
The NBA, and I know you're going to bring in the NHL
ruins
too.
You tools.
Phase two, youth sports can resume.
God, let's go back to your Little League days.
It's time for Cordishi and Coit.
Ready?
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Okay, Boomer.
Here's your host, Scott Cordishi and Nick Coit.
Something
no.
Aged Scott Cordishi?
No. I watched Mel Allen's this
week. Yeah, well, that's
baseball.
Where it's going next.
How about that?
All right, welcome back. Hour number two of Cordishi and Coit on WEEI. Scott and Nick with you, 401-737-1287. The phone number if you'd like to join us. A couple of the suggestions from texters. Justin Timberlake, Steph Curry, guys I'd like to see play golf with Tiger and Phil. Timberlake would be interesting, too. He's a funny dude.
He's great. I love Justin Timberlake. Yeah, he's funny. I don't know how he is as a golfer, but he can't be, like, too great, but not too bad. Like, that's a sweet spot if we're going to go celebrity route. Absolutely.
Steph Curry's pretty good at golf, is he not? Isn't he like a 3-4 handicap?
I think he is. Yeah, I think he is pretty good. Like, what did they say, Justin Timberlake and who? Who would be the other
Steph,
one?
Well, Steph Curry.
Okay.
They were separate.
If you're going to go Timberlake, I actually might go, and I don't know how good of a golfer he is. I don't even know if he golfs, but if Jimmy Fallon golfs, like, those guys are like,
yeah,
that's funny.
Yes.
They would give each other crap. Like, that's, you need to have the relatability there. Like, that's, right. Yeah, I like that.
All right, so getting back to Tom Brady, got a texter mm-hmm. here that taking issue with me mm-hmm. saying, Scott sounds like a 15-year-old whose girlfriend has just left him. Yeah, I never liked her anyway. She was ugly. Just get over it, man. That scorned girlfriend.
15. That's wow.
Yeah, wow. Well, that takes me back a few years.
I'm going to say, like, you guys were probably together a whole 6 weeks. Like, man, that's going to be heartbreaking.
You know, did you see or hear, it was probably about a week and a half ago, Greg Bedard from The Athletic, what he said about Brady in 2018. I don't know if you caught this. He said in a column, on the Boston Sports, he's a founder of the Boston Sports Show.
Right.
He said that Brady, and these are his words, not mine, quote unquote, largely checked out in 2018 after the loss to Pittsburgh.
Hmm. In 18?
Checked out of being a Patriot.
In 18?
Yeah, that's when he made up his mind that he was out of here, that he was not going to be staying in New England. And now, and people say, well, wait a minute, they won a Super Bowl that year,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but I'm going to read you his quote.
Okay.
Quote, this stuff that you're hearing, he felt he was being phased out. Josh McDaniel was no longer his buffer. Brady lacked the same input as what you get from an aging athlete who has always been worried about being replaced, seeing ghosts. Brady was so dead set on being the one to orchestrate the final years of his career, he was paranoid about Belichick beating him to the punch. What you won't hear from Team Brady is that Brady largely checked out in 2018 after the loss to Pittsburgh and hated how the offense pivoted to a more run-based attack. Brady probably hated the Rams' Super Bowl game plan as well and how it only produced 13 points. That was a direct quote from Bedard. Now, the story goes on to say, a quick glance at the 2018 ledger yields some interesting results. Brady did struggle in that 17-10 loss to the Steelers. He completed 13 passes through two interceptions, and a week later against the Bills, he completed 13 passes. He threw two picks a week later against the Bills.
Yep.
Then he absolutely torched the Jets in Week 17. His 133 passer rating was his best of the season. His postseason was a bit uneven, but he proved remarkably clutch in the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead Stadium, engineering three touchdown drives in the fourth quarter and overtime to stave off a Chiefs comeback. He converted three crucial third and tens in one of the NFL's rowdiest stadiums. He was very good against the Chargers and Chiefs in the postseason.
Very good.
Not great against the Rams. So, anyway.
See, I don't know. That one, because I don't know if the timeline really, you know, clears up there. Because, you know, they went through the postseason, you're right, against the Chargers and against the Chiefs. He was very good. If you tell any quarterback, Scott, that we're going to run more and pass less, I don't think any quarterback is going to take that well, but I think he did get on board with the game plans, and just seeing the pure joy he had, I just remember that shot of him in Kansas City leaping into the arms of Kyle Van Noy and some of the teammates there after they won that game in overtime. I don't know. That's
But again, Nick, they won that game basically largely based upon his performance, right? He engineered those three late touchdown drives,
yeah,
converted those three third and tens.
Right.
So maybe that's why he was more thrilled with the way they won that game as opposed to being thrilled with the way they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think Bedard's mistake was using the phrase and the
checked
words
out.
Checked out.
Yes, I agree.
Now, was that the turning point in Tom Brady's mind that, you know what, I don't think I'm finishing my career here in New England? Maybe he saw the writing on the wall and said, you know, Bill does not have as much faith in me, nor does Josh. They're transitioning to a more run-heavy offense because maybe they feel like at my age that I can't get it done at the level I got it done earlier in my career. So maybe mentally he was saying that to himself. You know, this, I can see the writing on the wall here in New England, and it's only a matter of time. Yes, but to use the word checked out is unfair because he was magnificent against the Chiefs in the postseason.
Yeah.
He was magnificent. You remember Bosa. I mean, he was magnificent against the Chargers. So,
and he still had Gronkowski here. He still had his guy.
Yep.
Like that to me, that's a big part of why there was a lot of frustration last year. He lost his guy and the fact that he had a lot of new faces and whatnot. And I think you're right, Scott. I think the words checked out is not the right way to put it, but did that begin some of the doubt that he would be here for the long haul? Maybe. And then when the contract talks came up and, you know, what happened before the 2019 season, you know, he said it himself to Howard Stern that he felt like this was his last year after the contract, you know, talks sort of broke down and, you know, what happened during camp last year. So that could have been the beginning of sort of the mindset that I may have to look somewhere else to finish.
Got a texter said D. Ford won the game for the Patriots. His offside.
It helped.
Ouch.
That's the thing, texter. You get breaks in all these games, whether you are the Patriots or other teams. It all works out. And so, D. Ford, don't line up offsides.
My problem with Tom Brady is this. You know, I look at last year and I became frustrated with Brady when he became frustrated with his offensive teammates. I think it was pretty clear he was not happy with the guys around him.
Right.
That he had no patience for the young guys, namely Jacoby Myers, to a lesser extent, N'Keal Harry when he came back and joined the fold, and their mistakes. That bothered me because that was a change from the Tom Brady that we saw earlier in his career. You know, if I'm going to add to that, it was, you know, the last couple of years, him not taking part in OTAs. That bothered me, frustrated me. Was that his doing? Was that Giselle's doing? Probably a little bit of both. Giselle probably put pressure on him, which is maybe why he didn't do it. But as you said last week correctly, it wasn't just for family reasons. He's over in Monaco, right? Gallivanting while the Patriots are in OTA. So that stuff, you know, when you add it all up, is really kind of what bothered me. It's like, okay, this isn't the same guy that, you know, I've loved for the last 18, 19 years here in New England. He's changed a little bit these past couple of years, and I didn't like the changes.
No.
So that's where I'm coming from. You can agree or disagree with it. You can root for him to win every game he plays in Tampa, except when he plays the Patriots. I'm okay with that. It bothered me. I'm not going to use the words checked out, but I feel like, I don't know if I should say his commitment level to the Patriots or to the team was a little bit different, but that's kind of how I feel.
I feel the same way. And that's why, you know, I felt like if Brady left town, I felt like if that really happened, I would be very critical of the Patriots for letting him walk out the door. Because I think once the crossroads with Jimmy Garoppolo came up, you were either going to go one of two ways. You were going to stick with the young quarterback that you groomed to be the next guy for the next 10 years and let go of the older guy. Or you were going to ride off with the older guy until he was done, period. And there's no in between there. And if there is an in between, then you should be criticized for it. And that's why I felt like if Brady left town, you know, I would feel differently than I do. But I think seeing all these factors with Brady, seeing how everything played out, the relationship was done. And so to try to force this going forward, I don't think would have been healthy for Brady. I don't think it would have been healthy for the team or the franchise. I don't think it would have set them up for success. And okay, so Brady's leaving town and you may take a step back here with a young quarterback, or, you know, who knows? You know, it may not be a pretty year or two here as you sort of retool. But does it help the franchise in the long run to reset things now and figure out the future of the franchise and the team? I think it might, and I think this is probably the time to do it. I'm not saying that if Brady wanted to come back or they came to a deal that it wouldn't have been a good thing, because I think if he did sign a new contract and stay here, I think his commitment level, I think they would have talked things out. I do. But I think it was over. I think the relationship had run its course with Brady and Belichick, with Brady in the organization here, Brady in New England, and I think that's why I think for all parties involved, I do think, you know, I'm at peace, Scott. I'm at peace.
Serenity now.
Maybe insanity later, but serenity now. I think it's good for all parties.
You know, and I'll be honest with you. I'm just in the interest of honesty here. Mm-hmm. I feel like Tom Brady is more motivated now like he was earlier in his career. And that sticks in my craw a little bit too. Like, where was that fire maybe the last couple of years? You know, he's got something to prove. He feels like he definitely has something to prove this year going on to Tampa, to the point where he convinced Gronk to come out of retirement. Well, if you were that fired up still about winning, competing for him, winning Super Bowls, why didn't you try to convince Gronk to come out of retirement last year? Yeah. Guys could have used him. Right?
Oh, yeah.
But now you're in Tampa and you want to stick it to Belichick and Patriots fans, you know. I don't know. That's why I'm a little frustrated with Tom.
Sure.
I will always appreciate his greatness. Best to ever play the game in the position. I will always appreciate what he did for this Patriots franchise, the team that I root for. 6 Super Bowl titles. Unprecedented. I will never, ever not appreciate that. But I guess some of these things that have happened in these last couple of years.
It's the immediacy of it. It is what it is right now. But when we look back at what Brady did and what he was here, he's on the Mount Rushmore of athletes in this area, and he's going to stay there. And that won't change, and we won't not appreciate what he did here because we do, because it changed the culture around here. We all recognize that. But the immediacy of it right now, it don't feel great. It doesn't.
All right, back to the calls we go. Jay's in Warwick. Good morning, Jay. You're next on Kordishi and Coit on WEEI.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good,
what's
Jay?
Up, Jay?
I've always appreciated what Brady did, and I always will. I just don't understand the people that can't accept that there was something going on with him and Bill over the past few years. And when people talk about, you know, his people in the media talk about his issues with the family, that's where I jump off the bus, because I'm sorry, he lived half an hour from the facility, and they wrote about him like he was going off to Fallujah when he was going off to training camp, you know, and it's not like Giselle was sitting there with a pot, boiling pot of sauce that she was making, with kid in hand, folding laundry. You know, that stuff just kind of that stuff just kind of goes out the window with me with Brady.
Tommy, and I am sitting here and I want to have an avocado milkshake with you. You will not go to practice today. You will drink this with me.
Yeah, like give me a break. Like the letter thing, I don't buy that. I don't think that. I think he just wanted out, and I think he used his family as an excuse. And maybe there was stuff going on. Who knows? But it was just time. And the other thing that people don't seem to get is like they just had to pay him. Okay, well then, who's coming in to help? Because he was obviously not a fan of the weapons that were here.
Right.
And they you know, I believe the salary cap is, as Belichick famously said, the salary cap can be maneuvered in multiple ways. But they would have had to do a lot of different things in order to acquire the type of weapons that I think Brady wanted for him to come back here and be happy and not be a miserable, you know, SOB that he was for the last year and a half.
Yeah. Well, to follow that up too, okay, Brady clearly frustrated with the weapons or lack thereof, okay? But for him to insinuate or intimate that the Patriots, and namely Belichick, didn't do enough to surround him with offensive talent, to me, is a myth, and that bothers me. Okay, is it Belichick's fault that Gronk decided to retire? No, it happened. Is it Belichick's fault that Devlin got hurt, which kind of hurt their running game? No. Is it Belichick's fault that Andrews, right before the season, announced he couldn't play because of his heart issue and that his left tackle was injured and had to go on IR? No. Belichick drafted in the first round a wide receiver for him. Is it Belichick's fault that receiver landed on IR and was injured and missed, you know, three quarters of the season? No. Belichick went out and got Antonio Brown, a shiny new toy, the best receiver in football form. Is it Belichick's fault that Antonio Brown acted like an idiot on Instagram and kind of sent a veiled threat to the mother of his children? No, that they had to release him. Belichick went out and traded a third-round pick for Mohamed Sanu. Yeah. Okay, Sanu maybe isn't the same guy he was early in his career in Atlanta, but Belichick, my point is, tried to surround him with talent. And for a variety of reasons, it didn't work out. But it's not Bill's fault. It's not the Patriots' fault. They tried to surround him with talent, but for a variety of reasons, it didn't work out.
No, and the thing about Antonio Brown is like Brady was like, that was the happiest he's seen in a long time when Brown was there. And it's just not his response. Now, I kind of blame Bill on the Sanu thing. Because the number two pick, a second round pick for him, I'm sorry, you go look at his production the last 2.5 years in Atlanta. He's been the third receiver there, and I never thought he was really that good to begin with, but that's besides the point. But he made an effort.
But you know what, Jay? I think
your point.
There was some rumblings there, too, that Brady wanted Sanu of the guys like him, right. Him and Sanders.
That's the thing, too. It's like, well, Brady was, well, you picked Sanu,
yeah, right.
You jackass.
Right.
And now because the guy stinks, now you're upset even more. But can I say one thing about baseball, and I'll let you guys go?
Go ahead, buddy.
I honestly don't care if it goes away. I don't. I know the owners are rich. I know they're far more wealthy than the players are. But the players fight the owners on everything. They fight them on any rule change. They fight them on pace of play. They fight them on any little thing. Now you hear reports that there's some guys that won't play because they can't spit and they can't get their, you know, take their spa baths after they pitch. It's just like, okay, if the owners are going to die on a hill, this is the hill they need to die on. And this is the hill that they need to die on to get control of the situation a little bit more than they have. Because the players, for far too long, have had far too much power. And they just walk all over the owners, generally. And they just, their salaries are out of whack compared to how popular the sport has become.
Their salaries and guaranteed contracts are completely out of control. I agree with you. I like to see the owners rein in the Major League Baseball Players Association, but here's where I disagree with you. Would I be sorry if baseball went away? Yes, I would, because eventually when things return to normal, Nick, whether it's, you know, next year, the year after, in the summer, that's all you got for pro sports. That's
it. Sure.
You got baseball. If you don't have baseball, and not, you have nothing?
Well,
that's what we've been living through right now, and it sucks.
And
we
it's
hate
going
it.
To be there at some point. It's just you hope that the sport doesn't keep just eroding, you know, I think is the word, because it's just slowly you're just losing interest with people for things like that. And Jay makes a really good point. You know, it's hard to side with the players when they're worried about negotiating whether they can, you know, spit on the field or, you know, take an ice bath in the clubhouse after it. Like, guys, just stop it. Go out there and play. You know, I was the, you know, I was the kind of, you know, athlete growing up where, like, if I really needed medical attention, I would get it. But otherwise, I wasn't one of these people that would go into a training room with somebody and say, oh, can you stretch out my quad, please? Oh, man, it just hurt. No, go out there and play, you babies. That's why it's hard to relate to these guys.
Right.
Because they're arguing stupid things like that. Come on, guys. Just go out there and play. Stretch it out, grab your glove, and let's go play some ball, man. And that's the problem is these guys don't want to. They just want to be catered to sometimes. And that's why it's hard to side with them in this. It is.
All right, we got an open phone line. If you want to jump on it right now, 401-737-1287. The phone number, Jeff in Cranston. We'll get to your phone call next. You're listening to Cordishy and Coit on WEEI.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.